Last Lord's Day morning, we looked together at one of the questions that we find our Lord asking, recorded for us in Luke's Gospel. And this evening, we want to look at another of those questions. Luke records a great many of them in his Gospel record. This is one of the chief ways in which Jesus taught, by asking questions. He asked questions which awakened people, which rebuked his enemies, which comforted and directed those who were struggling. All the questions he asked were necessary. There was a good purpose behind every one of them. Sometimes we ask questions which are not that important, and it wouldn't really matter if we never asked them at all. But all of his questions are vital and important. And all of his questions are asked at the right time. Sometimes we think back to conversations we've held and we say to ourselves, I wish I'd remember to ask him about this or that. The opportunity has gone. But our Lord knew which questions to ask and when to ask them. This evening we want to look at one of them recorded in Luke chapter 8. In verse 25, Jesus says to his disciples, "Where is your faith?" A simple sounding question, and yet we find it a remarkably profound and helpful question. The disciples have been shaking with fear because the little boat in which they're traveling across the Sea of Galilee has been caught up in a terrible, fearful storm. They thought they were going to be lost. The danger has passed. The storm has stopped. The sea is calm. And the disciples are standing, relieved no doubt. And just at that point, our Lord asks them this question, "Where is your faith?" It's a question they needed to think about, one they had to consider seriously. And not just the disciples, but us as well. It's a very fundamental question. Last week, I think it was, I received a communication through the post from one of our local political parties. It wasn't, interestingly, about the election. It was about something else. But it was addressed to the churches and the faith community of Newton Ards. What is a faith community? I imagine that what they meant was it's just anyone who happens to believe anything at all. Faith is such a vague and indefinite thing. But of course it isn't vague and indefinite. What's really vital and important is, where is our faith resting? A man may believe that the log across the river will carry his weight, but he may be sadly disillusioned if he tries to walk across it. Where is your faith? It's a fundamental question, isn't it? Is it trusting in the Savior alone, resting in him for salvation? It's fundamental. The disciples, of course, are believing men. And so as we look at this question this evening addressed to them, we want to notice several things which it does for them and for us. First of all, this question humbles us. Where is your faith? When you were young, did you ever push through the door in front of an elderly aunt who was visiting you? And your mother called you back and said, looking you in the eye, "Where are your manners? What have you done with your manners?" You know better than to behave like that. You've been taught how you should behave. Where are your manners? What have you done with them? Here were the disciples. Where is your faith? You know you should be trusting. Yes, the storm is raging and it's frightening, but this is the very moment in which to exercise faith in the Lord, to look to Him. And yet, they didn't. Because they should have been trusting, the question is a humbling one. You see, there were many good reasons they had to go on trusting in the Lord. For example, they had seen Him doing great and mighty works. Earlier in this gospel record, Luke tells of how Jesus healed, how He raised a young man to life again. They had seen many evidences of Christ's mighty power. Surely they should have confidence in Him. Surely they should have known and believed and trusted that He who can do these mighty works can certainly bring them safely through this storm. Do you not remember that? It's a question then which humbles them. Where is your faith? They'd also heard His word to them. Jesus had spoken to them, as we notice, about their journey across the sea. When they started off, He said to them, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." That's where they're going. His intention and purpose is that they would travel across the sea to the other side. They were going to arrive there. But the sound of the storm drowned out His voice, and the disciples forgot what He had said. They forgot that He'd said they were going to cross the sea. Where is your faith? This question humbles us. It exposes the lack of trust in the Lord in every circumstance that comes along. Even though they'd seen His power, even though they'd been given His word, they failed to trust. When the crisis came, they failed to trust. How can we explain that lack of faith? Why did they not, having seen His mighty works, having heard His certain word, why did they not trust Him at that moment of crisis? Because they were doing what we often do. They were doing what we do. They allowed the storm to become the center of their attention. We allow ourselves to become so absorbed in the difficulties which come along, at the storms which blow into our lives, at the unexpected crises, at the apparently insurmountable problems that arise, that we also take our eyes off the Lord. And then we hear the humbling question, where is your faith? It should be in the Lord. You see, we know that, like the disciples, there's never any reason for not trusting Him. And so the question humbles us. But there's something about it also which is very solemn. In Mark's account of this incident, he tells us that when the disciples were alarmed by the storm, and they came to Jesus and wakened Him out of sleep, they said, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" It was an awful thing, wasn't it, to say? Do you not care that we are perishing? Why is this happening to us? Why is this happening to me? Isn't that very, very close to what they were saying? To doubting his love and care. It was an awful thing to say. Of course he cares. He is with them because of his care for them. He has come into the world because of his care for them. He is going to save them because of his care for them. The question humbles us. Where is your faith? Is it where it should be? Is it in the Lord? No matter what the circumstances, is it resting in him? J.C. Ryle puts this question as he looks at this passage. Where was the real value in their faith unless they kept it in active exercise, unless they used it every day of their lives? Where was the real benefit of trusting in the Lord if they only did that on calm and sunny days and not on stormy days when unexpected difficulties arose? The question humbles us because we really know that there is never any time when we can excuse ourselves for not trusting. Secondly, this question encourages us. Jesus asks this question in great kindness. Where is your faith? It's asked with love and kindness. You see, his purpose for these disciples is that they would be men of faith. They are going to serve him. They can only do that by faith. His purpose is that they become men of faith. They will encounter difficulties. They'll find themselves facing trials. They will discover that they are being attacked by Satan. How can they stand? This is the victory. Faith. It is his purpose that they should be men of faith. But at this moment, they are not men of faith. They are not trusting. What a great kindness it is to address this question. Where is your faith? He's calling them, you see. And he's saying, trust in me. Trust in me. In all of these circumstances. And learn to trust in the days that are going to come. It's a great kindness. And our Lord's purpose is that we should be people of faith. You and I, that we should live by faith. That we should undertake our service for him in faith. That as we encounter difficulties, we should do it in faith. We'll only persevere if we persevere by faith. What an encouraging, kind question this is. Where is your faith? Let it rest in me alone. In a sense, couldn't we say that this question is addressed to us at the beginning of every day? That as you set off into each new day, the question stands at the beginning of it. Where is your faith? Are you walking today by faith? As you take on the responsibilities and face whatever this day may hold, are you doing it by faith, trusting in the Lord? That's how Moses lived. The writer to the Hebrews says, Moses persevered as seeing him who is invisible. Where's your faith, Moses? And Moses says, my faith is resting on one whom I cannot see with my eyes, but I know he is there in heaven and that he is with me. My faith is resting in one who is all-powerful and entirely faithful. My faith, says Moses, is resting in one who will never leave me and never forsake me. My faith is in one whose plan for my life is perfect. Where is your faith? Jesus encourages us by asking this question, because in asking it, he's saying, let your faith rest in me alone, at all times, on every day, in every circumstance. Our Lord addresses in his kindness this question to us this evening. Aren't you encouraged by it? Because he's saying to you, trust in me. Trust in me. The very fact that the disciples found themselves in the middle of a storm, strangely, was encouraging. They probably didn't think that at the time, but later on they would realize that this was very, very encouraging. In fact, one of the men in this boat was later going to write about life's trials. Peter, in his first letter, wrote this. As he encouraged people facing trials, he says, don't be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Trials are not strange. They're not random, meaningless events. There's always a reason for them. Was Peter thinking back to that sudden trial which entered his life as he sailed across the Sea of Galilee? Don't be alarmed at the painful trials which come. This was, of course, a really difficult and painful trial. In Matthew's Gospel, he uses the word here in the original, which sounds very like our word seismic, like an earthquake or a tsunami. These are men, of course, who are used to sailing across the Sea of Galilee. They've been in their boat numerous times. They know that storms happen very frequently on the Sea of Galilee. The storms can be quite severe, but although they've no doubt gone through them before, this storm was different. And there was something about it. It was seismic. Something about it very frightening. But this trial came at the very moment when they were obeying their Lord. It crashed down on top of them when they were in the very place where Christ meant them to be. They weren't in this terrifying storm because they'd acted foolishly, because they'd ignored the weather, because they'd wandered away from the Lord. They weren't engulfed in these violent waves because they were disregarding God's will. They were living in obedience to their Savior, and at that moment, the storm crashed around them. Can't you see what that means? It was Christ's purpose that these men would sail across the Sea of Galilee. But it was also his purpose that the storm would come up, because storms are under his control, as we have just been singing. There are times when the Lord himself leads us into stormy waters. And if you find a storm raging in your life, please don't immediately assume that it's because you're being disobedient. Sometimes we behave foolishly and we bring trouble on ourselves, but not always. And not certainly on this occasion. Sometimes the Lord leads his people through dark valleys and along difficult roads. And there is always a good purpose in that. Peter was to write later on, "These trials have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." My faith, Peter says, was tested one day in a sudden trial, and I can write and tell you that trials come so that your faith will be tested and refined and strengthened. The storm was frightening, definitely. But the storm was always under control, as all the circumstances in our lives are. The storm was Christ's instrument to strengthen and purify the faith of his disciples. Isn't that encouraging? And his question to them, "Where is your faith?" is such a kind, encouraging question. Because he's calling us in all the difficulties we discover, all the tests we encounter, to trust in him. Where is your faith at those times? Let it rest in me and in my good purpose for you, and in my wise ordering of all things around you, and in my never-ending love for you. Let it rest there. This question humbles us. It encourages us. Thirdly, it teaches us. Storms usually die down quite gradually. The strength of the wind decreases and the waves begin to subside, and after a while everything gets back to being calm again. But that is not how it happened on this momentous day. The storm did not settle down gradually. It suddenly, instantaneously became calm. Perfectly calm. The disciples, as they saw this, asked a question. Because at that moment, Jesus had said to them, "Where is your faith?" They didn't answer directly. You'll notice they don't actually speak about their faith. You'll notice they don't try to excuse themselves for their failure to trust him at that crisis moment. They respond to his question with another question, but it's one they ask of each other. Who is this? Who is this? The question Jesus asked is used to teach them so they learn more of him. That's the great outcome. They learn more of him. Before they set off across the sea, Jesus had been engaged in long hours of teaching and of healing, and he was weary when he entered the boat and needed rest. As he went into the boat, he lay down, and Mark says he took a pillow and fell asleep. The storm arose, but Jesus remained asleep. What do you think the disciples thought about this later? What did they learn from this? Didn't they learn something about faith? Here's what faith does in difficult and troubled times. Faith rests quietly in God. Where is your faith? Should your faith not be in God, as mine is? They're learning about faith. Doesn't it urge us to pray that God will strengthen our faith and give us greater faith? Don't we understand a little bit of the disciples' prayer, "Lord, increase our faith"? They were learning about faith as they saw Jesus resting calmly and quietly, trusting in his heavenly Father in the midst of this tumultuous storm. That's what faith does. And faith also, they also were being taught about the compassion of their Savior. How readily he hears the cries of his people. Isn't it interesting to see here how the raging storm could not awaken him from sleep? The tossing boat did not cause him to waken. But immediately, his disciples cried out in their need. He awakened and answered. Where is your faith? Are you not trusting in my love for you and readiness to hear you and to help you? He hears the needy's humble cry. Do you think I will let you go? Haven't I chosen you? Do you think I will forget you? You see how we learn here of Christ's compassion. What a wonderful thing. The storms, the raging waves, the tossing of the boat, he remained asleep. And at the cry of these frightened disciples, he awoke to answer their prayer. He hears the needy's humble cry, yours and mine. He is always near to answer. But of course, they also learned not only what faith does, and how compassionate the Lord is, but they learned more of the glory which belongs to him. Who is this? He can make the waves stop, and he can make the wind cease. And they are learning something that they haven't really grasped before. They are learning of Christ's glory and power. He rested tired in the back of the boat as a man. He stilled the storm as God. Have we learned these things? This question teaches us, where is your faith? Have we learned what faith is as we see it in our Savior? Have we learned of his compassion that he's near to hear us? Have we learned of his glory that his power is infinite and there is nothing? There is nothing. Any circumstance or difficulty or problem, there is nothing that is too difficult for him. One writer has said every trial and test, every storm in life is just one more opportunity to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one more opportunity to discover the depth of his compassion. Where is your faith? That's the question we need to hear and have to answer. Are we trusting in this great and gracious Savior? When the storms come, the only way we can come through them is by faith in him. There is another storm which hasn't come yet, but it will. And we have been singing about it. It's the storm that will come at the last day. Great storms shall round about him be. Where is your faith? Because when that day comes, the only safe place is to be trusting in Christ. Isn't this a good question? Where is your faith? By this question, Jesus calls us this evening to believe in him for time and all those storms that come in time, and also for eternity, that we will stand and be safe. Where is your faith?